Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Amen and amen. Praise Yahweh, saints. All right. It's a blessing to be sharing with you today. Anybody just glad about him? You're just glad about him. You're just glad about him. You're glad about him. Like, no special reason. Just glad about him because of who he is. Hallelujah. And I'm glad about him this morning. And so I just want to share just a little bit with you about what we were talking about last week. It's important that we get this concept that Yahweh is trying to convey. What concept, Pastor Tom? The oneness. Being in the oneness. He's trying to show us that there's power in the oneness, not one being singular, standing alone by yourself. But the concept of, the Hebrew concept of oneness is when it's not considered single, it's considered unit. The Hebrew word ahad, A-H-H-A-D, unity, the oneness, everything coming together as one for a purpose is important because he says some things about unity. There are some things that he commands when we are what? In unity. We were singing a song of worship today. We are one. Look around the room. How in the world can all these different people be one? Look around. How is that possible? It's possible by the Holy Spirit. There's one Spirit that unifies all of us. And when we put all of this together in one room, look at this power. In science, we call it potential energy. Why do we call it potential? Because if you do it the right way, it has the potential to be something really powerful. But you have to what? Tap into the what? Potential. How do we tap into the potential and actually make it something of a reality? When we come together in unity. Tell your neighbor, are you in unity? Amen. Okay, you bet. There better be the right answer too. So let's go. We open it up in Genesis. And we're the church for truth seekers. We like to reveal the truth in everything. Truth in names, what the meaning of names are. Truth in scripture, of course, what the true meaning of scriptures are. We're not a denomination here. We are non-denominational. What does that mean? Because we're not trying to tell you what a denomination is supposed to tell you. We're telling you what the word tells you. What is the word saying? That's what we are connected with. Amen? And so when we talk about names and truth, we look at the Hebrew and we look at the Greek and we try to find truth in all of the things that we read. So Genesis, for you Hebrew scholars, what's the name the Hebrew name for Genesis, Bereshit. Now, you may hear the name Yeshua. We're not talking about any different, anybody different. We're talking about the Savior who died on the cross for your sins and my sins. His true name is Yeshua. And Yeshua actually means that he will save. He will deliver. Well, why are y'all using that name? You should be using the name of Jesus. Well, the name of Jesus didn't come until 1611. What year is it now? So how long was the name Jesus in effect? Somebody do the math. What I thought was bad. What is that, Apostle? 1,020 years. No. Somebody, you got your cell phones out. You know, you text it right now. 2015. Huh? 404 years. Now, how many years has it been since Messiah stepped on the scene? Over 2,000 years. So before 400 years ago, 404, Marissa, 404. What you got, mother? Okay, before that, what were they calling him? So in our math, and we all have to take math in school, right? So how many of you believe there's truth in math? Tell your neighbor, numbers don't lie. Sometimes y'all lie about numbers, but numbers don't lie. How old is you? Well, you start carrying the one and subtract. Right? So if the math is right, that means that he was called Yeshua longer than they were calling him Jesus, right? And since it didn't come till 1611 by King James, who decided to translate the Bible, well, there's no, if you're translating words, that's one thing, but you don't need to translate a name. Why do I not need to translate a name? Because my name is the same wherever I go. Wherever I go in the world, my name is what my name is, right? And so, example of that, and I know he doesn't mind. Is he here? Oh, he's coming in. Okay. Taiki was born where? Man. I'm telling you, Japan. So when he came, his name did not need to be translated. No. He's Taiki everywhere in the world you go, right? So that means that Yeshua, if he was born Yeshua, and his name was given to him by Yahweh, which means it's a name above every name, and that name was what? That name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. There was a lot of emphasis put on that name, right? And so if that's his name, and that name means he will save and he will deliver, and that's exactly what he came to do, I think I'm going to keep on calling him the name that he was given in the very beginning. That means what he actually did in my life. He saved me. He delivered me. So I'm going to recognize that name. So your neighbor's daddy called him Yeshua. His mama called him Yeshua. That's what I'm going to call him then. Okay. So that's why we're looking for truth. Genesis, the first chapter. Let's look at the second verse, because this is our wellspring scripture. This is what brought us to the point of oneness, the concept of oneness. Because I was expressing to you that we just came off of a holiday where in the Hebrew, the holiday is celebrated Shavuot, right? And Shavuot means that's the holiday that was celebrated when the coming of the word fell on Mount Sinai, when Yahweh gave the word to Moshe or Moses on Mount Sinai, right? And that word came in the Old Testament. That same to the day celebration in the New Testament was when the day of Pentecost came. To the day. So you have in the Old Testament the celebration of Mount Sinai, Exodus 19th and 20th chapter. And then you have the New Testament, the same time, the same birth date, if you will say, that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, fell on the day of Pentecost. It was the same time. Is that a coincidence? No. He gave us the Word, and he gave us the what?
Spirit,
right? And so the Christians celebrate Pentecost, but they don't recognize Shavuot, which is the Word. And the Jewish, the Yehudins, celebrate the Word, the Torah, but they don't celebrate, recognize what? The Spirit. So everybody's settling for what? 50%, half of the inheritance. What he wants us to do is he wants us to bring them both together, because he had a reason. Let's go to the first chapter in the second verse and see what that reason was. Second verse says, and the earth was what? Without form. And it was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the waters. And Yahweh said, let there be light. So we have the first verse. The Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. Then the second verse, we have what? The Word being spoken. Say, anytime Yahweh says something. Say, anytime Yahweh says something, it's the Word. So now we have the Spirit, and the next verse we have what? The Word. Say, the Spirit and the Word. You got to have both. Why? Because it says, and when in that atmosphere of his Spirit, in that presence of his Spirit, the Word was spoken. He said, let there be light. And what happened? And there was light. And the fourth verse says, and Yahweh saw that the light, that it was good. And Yahweh divided the light from the darkness. And Yahweh called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were what? And it says in the Hebrew translation, and the evening and the morning were one day. So what happened here? His Spirit and his Word came together and created something out of nothing. Say, it took both of them. It took the Word and it took the Spirit, right? It took, see, what you don't understand is the Word gives purpose, right? Because the Word speaks, it says what something is, right? The Word gives purpose. Say, the Word is the purpose. Because why did the Word need to be spoken? He said, let there be light. Why did he need to say that? Because the earth was void and without form and it was dark. And so something needed to happen. Something needed to be spoken. There needed to be a purpose. What was the purpose? To turn dark into light. Well, you had something on your life. Your life was dark. You was void without form. So he had to speak something into you. But yeah, you can keep do all the speaking that you want. And you can have the purpose and want to do something, but mixed in with that, you got to have the power. So what had to happen? The Spirit gave power. Say, the Spirit gave power. So the Word gave purpose. The Spirit gave power. And when you put them together, what happens? Well, you have what you have here. A bunch of people who now they were dark, now they're light. I'm talking about your life. I'm not talking about anything else. And I'm talking about your life was barren. Now it has what? Purpose, right? You were lost and now you're what? Found, right? You were bound, but now you're what? Free, what? You were dead and now that you are what? Alive. Thank him for the Word and for the Spirit that has moved in your life. They had to come together to create something. So you have to have the Word. You have to have the Spirit in order for transformation to take place, right? And so when we go that, say, I have to have purpose and I have to have power. You have to have both. You can have the power, but if you ain't got no purpose, what you going to do? You can have purpose, but if you ain't got the power, what? What you going to do? You can't do it, right? So that's why he's saying this is the celebration of those things coming together. So let's go to Psalms, 133rd chapter. And if you are a Hebrew scholar, what is the Hebrew name for Psalms? Tehillim. So you have to have them coming together. Because our lives have potential. There are some things that Yahweh wants to do in our lives, right? But we have to have the power and the word operating in our lives for those things to happen, right? So you can have all the wishful thinking you want, but if you don't have the word working in your life, along with the power working in your life, right? They work together. Okay, so let's go. So they're in unity. Say they're in unity. Say there's power in unity. There's power in coming together. And so that's what he's trying to show us. See, in the Hebrew, everything means something. Everything is significant. Everything has a meaning and a purpose, right? He's trying to illuminate things. He's trying to show us things. And that is one of the most rich languages for him to be born up into because it is so expressive. Just like faith. When we say faith in English, it just means, oh, we're just believing. But when we look at the Hebrew word for faith, what is that? Emunah. It means a deeply rooted, unshakable, unmovable conviction. It's so deeply rooted, you can't move it. You can't shake it. And that's how he wants us to believe that when he says something in the word that he's going to do, he says something in your life that he's going to do, he said that how he's going to move, that you believe it, unshakably you believe it. Your belief is deeply rooted. It's unmovable. Can't nobody shake you. Can't nobody change your mind. And when you hear that, it's like, you know what? That means a whole lot more than just faith. It's deeper. Say it's deeper. It has more meaning. And so when we go to Psalms 133, or Tehillim 133, we're going to go to the first verse. And we kind of left off somewhat on this. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to what? It's good and it's pleasant. Usually, if it's not good and if it's not pleasant, there's something wrong. If it's not good and if it's not pleasant, evidently there's some disunity going on, right? Because when you come together in unity, it's supposed to be, tell your neighbor, it's supposed to be good. Tell your neighbor, it's supposed to be pleasant. That's why I love coming, cooking up with y'all. Anytime we can get together during the week. Because when we come together for Bible study, we get together for the prayers or even rehearsals or Sunday service, worship. I don't know about y'all, but living out here in this world and doing the stuff we got to do in this world, I need some pleasantness and I need some goodness. Anybody with me on that? I mean, I come here because I need to experience some goodness. I need to experience some pleasantness. When I look at these faces, I need to see that you good. You feeling good. I need to feel that you feeling what? Pleasant. Tell your neighbor, you feeling good and pleasant? Not good and plenty, good and pleasant. Right? Well, that's what unity is about, right? And so it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to go together in unity. Anybody experience the other part of this? When it has been disunified and it's been mess and it's not good, right? I've had a job like that. There was no unity at all. I don't even look forward to going. But guess what? I look forward to coming together with my brethren and my sister and in the spirit of unity. Right? And so it is like, and we talked about this last week, it is like the precious ointment. And we said ointment was what? The anointing, the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, it's the anointing. And guess what? We didn't say this last week, but it's not just regular oil. It's precious. It's not Crisco. This is the anointed, precious, fragrant oil, right? The rare oil that he provides, the Holy Spirit, right? Upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even upon Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment. And the Hebrew translation of skirts is edges. We got to let the anointing flow to the what? Edges, right? What does it mean when it flows to the edges? That means you have been saturated. It's all the way down. It's all the way through, right? And so that's what we want. And it says what? As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, Yahweh commanded. Say he commanded. Okay, so listen. What do we have here? We have the unity. Because when the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the earth, right, when it was void, and then in that atmosphere he spoke something. Well, now we're talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? And so then he says, under that anointing, if you allow it to flow from the top of your head to the edges of your garment, if you allow that precious ointment to flow, then something is commanded. What is commanded means? That means Yahweh is speaking something. And not only is he speaking it, he is commanding it. And when he's commanding it, you cannot stop it. What is he commanding? He says he's commanding the blessings. Anybody want the blessings? If you want the blessings, right, then you got to allow yourself to be up under the influence of the Holy Spirit. From the top. See, saints, you're going to be influenced by something. Somebody sent me a video the other day. And this pastor, and it's a good thing, he had a bottle of Jack Daniels. He had a bottle of Jack Daniels. The cap was on it. You seen it? And so, as he was in the same, just like this, I ain't bringing the bottle. I can just tell you about it. Y'all couldn't handle it. Pastor Tom coming here with a bottle of Jack Daniels. Just get that image. But he took that bottle and he turned it up because he was saying, like he was drinking it. Because he said, when you allow Jack Daniels to saturate you, you become under the influence of what? Jack Daniels. And what do you call liquor? Somebody said Sprite. No. Spirits. Right? Because you're the saints, you're going to be under the influence of something. You just ain't around just doing your own thing. This is a spiritual warfare that we're in. So everything that you do is going to be motivated by a spirit or the spirit. I don't know about you, but everything that comes from the spirit is good. The Holy Ghost is good. The anointing is good. And not only is this good, it's pleasant. So you got to allow yourself to be under the influence of the what? The Holy Spirit. Because some of y'all are under the influence of Jack Daniel. Some of you on the influence of Kush. What are you, when you're smoking it, what are you turning yourself over? Buddha's high. The chronic. With some other stuff. See, y'all don't want to speak it because some of y'all been influenced. Even last night you was under the influence. Boone, strawberry, or apple. You turned yourself what? Over to some of y'all was under the influence of Kanye. Yeah. Music? Y'all was like, whoo! Well, you know what? It was so refreshing. The music ministry, the cathedral chorale right now, because they ain't wearing no robes. So they ain't no choir unless they got the robes on, so they chorale. But is Keith in the house? Where Keith at? Keith had turned himself over to the Holy Spirit, and they were saying, he is an awesome God. And Keith was. As Apostle used to say, he was cutting a bug in the rug. But what is that? That's the praise. What is that? That's the anointing. You saying, hey, Yahweh, I'm just praising you. I'm glorifying you. He was like, nah, he was just dancing. Uh-uh. Keith was getting it like David was. Yeah. But what is it? That's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And it was good. And I don't know about y'all, but I love to see folks praising. I love to see people under the anointing. Because something happens. When you bring the word and you bring that anointing together, the Bible says, the yoke is broken. You got yokes. You got stuff weighing you down. You want some freedom. You better start praising. You better allow that anointing. Right? That's what you got to do. So when we saw that illumination of we allow stuff to influence us. We allow music to influence us. We allow TV to influence us. Well, we allow fashion and all kinds of stuff to influence us. People would not be walking around with pants dropped way below. That's an influence. That's a prison influence. I'm not even going to the roots of it, but just use your imagination. We allow stuff to what? Influence us. But when we allow the world stuff to influence us, tell yourself it's not good. And it's not pleasant. Yeah, you know, you think you're feeling good when you turn up on what, Jack Daniels and all that other stuff. But guess what happens? That's what's called a hangover. Anybody hungover? Don't raise your hand. But what I was trying to say, has anybody been hungover? It's not good, and it's what? It was fun for a couple hours. But then that next day, you don't know what happened. What the little fun that you thought you had, you done forgotten what happened. But when you allow yourself to be influenced by the Spirit, when you allow those yokes to be broken, right? There's freedom. And you know what? I'd rather have a Holy Ghost hangover any day. A Holy Ghost hangover is just praise. It keeps on going. It's the overflow. Tell your neighbor, it's the overflow. Right? So something happens in this atmosphere. He commands the blessing. Right? And it says, even life. Life is commanded. Not only blessings, but life is what? Who wants to have life commanded on them? Long life. With long life, he will satisfy me. Right? And so it says right here, let's go here to Johanan. the unity, the oneness that he wants to express to us through the word and through the spirit. Let's find out a little bit more about that. Yohanan, John, the first chapter. This is Yeshua is the perfect example of unity. Say, Yeshua is unity. Why is he unity? Let's check it out. Yohanan, the first chapter, John. That's what Yohanan is. That's the Hebrew name for John, Yohanan. John, the first chapter. Let's go to the 14th verse. Okay? And it says what? And the word, hold up. The word is the Logos. What is the Logos? It's the living word. It's the word, and because it's what makes it alive, the spirit makes. The presence of Yahweh makes it alive. So in the Logos, we have the word and the spirit moving, right? And the word was what? Made flesh. How was the word made flesh? The word was made flesh because Yeshua was wrapped up in flesh. Yeshua is the word. Say, Yeshua is the word. Right? And he was made flesh. And why? So he could what? Dwell among us. And we beheld what? His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. I want to go back. The word was made flesh and dwelt. Say dwelt. It's a Greek word called skinoo. Say skinoo. S-K-E, no, O. S-K-E-N-O-O. Say skinoo. What does that mean? It means to reside, but it means to pitch a tent, right? Well, pitching a tent is the same thing that Yahweh did when he asked the children of Israel to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, which was a tent. Why? So his spirit could dwell among us. And that was Old Testament. So he built a tent. Instructed us to build a tent so that his presence could be manifest in that, so he could dwell among us and we could worship him and we could have a connection, we could have a relationship. So when Yeshua came, he pitched a tent among us. He actually dwelt, what? Among us. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, he pitches a tent in you, in your life, so that he can dwell not just among you, so that he could dwell within you, so that he could bless you, so that he could teach you, so he could lead you, so that he could guide you and direct you and keep you. It's that unity of the word and of the spirit coming what? Together. For what? For good. And we what? Beheld his glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So let's go to Yohanan 17. Now let's go to the 17th chapter. So Yeshua is the word. Yeshua is the truth. He's the living word, right? He's dwelling among us, in us, for us, so that something can be created and done in us. The problem is that we got so many things going on, we have not unified ourselves with him. He's dwelling in us, and we have not embraced that. And that's what's the problem with a lot of believers nowadays, is that we're not embracing the word in our life. We're not letting the word work in our life. How do I know? Because people ask me questions all the time. I'm going through this and I'm going through that. What should I do? What does the word say? Does anybody think that I'm going to tell you anything different than what the word says? I'm not going to tell you nothing different because I don't want you blaming it on me. Anything that I'm going to tell you, anything I'm going to share with you, anything I'm going to reveal or impart to you is going to be right there with the word. Why? Because there ain't nothing that you're going through that the word can't speak to. There ain't nothing that you are experiencing that the word can't bring you out of. There ain't nothing that you think that is happening in your life that the word can't answer. But you got to what? The problem is, before we can get in unity with each other, you need to get in unity with the word inside of you. That's the problem. Why? Some of y'all can't even get unified because you ain't unified with him. You ain't let him. He's trying to speak to you. He said, don't do that. I'm doing it anyway. Okay, well, you in disunity with the Holy Spirit in you. If you in disunity with the Holy Spirit in you, I can't get in unity with you. You ain't following me. I can't get in unity with this dude if this dude is out of unity with the Father. Because we ain't got no connection, right? Now, if evangelist is in unity with the word in his life, and then I'm in unity with the word in my life, when the two of us come together, ooh, the roof will blow up off this thing. But if I'm in unity with the Father and he not, then I can still be in the proximity, but ain't nothing going to happen. So you think just because, well, I touched and agreed, yeah, but did you agree within yourself? Were you connected with the word? See, that's where we lose it. You think that something's going to happen just because you done grabbed a body. Saints, you can't touch and agree with everybody because everybody ain't touch and agree material. Well, they at church, ain't they? Yeah. But everybody at church don't have the church in them. But my desire is that everybody that's up in this room would allow the church to saturate them all the way to the edges. That's my prayer. Now, is everybody there yet? No. Sometimes we try to find people in the congregation that's going to agree with us. No, we're not looking for perfect agreement with the word. We're looking for somebody that's going to agree with us. Tell me what I want to hear. Should I hook up with this dude? Well, girl, you know he's cute. You know, yeah, you should. That's what I thought. We're looking for somebody to agree with what we want to do instead of someone to agree with us that Yahweh's will be done. And is that perfect unity? No. He can't do nothing in that. He can't command nothing in that. Rather, he needs to shut something down. Sometimes his will is established when he shuts stuff down. Hello? Some of y'all not getting it. You think, oh, well, my prayer was this, and it didn't happen. Maybe it should not have happened. Maybe he had to shut that thing down for you to realize that that's not what he needed you to do. That's not where he wanted you to go. That's not what he wanted manifested in your life. And praise Yahweh for the grace and the mercy that he showed you by shutting it down so you could get yourself right. Because somebody needs some stuff shut down today. So somebody, they didn't want to hear that. I'm sorry. They didn't want to hear that word. Well, I want to do this. No, he's like, no. I said no. I told you no. And you still trying to press your will. Y'all need to be like Yeshua. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Right? And so let's go here. Johannes 17. The 17th chapter. And this is what I love this verse. Because Yeshua is praying for us. Yeshua is saying a prayer for you. He is praying because he's concerned about you. He's actually vocalizing an intercession for you. What is an intercession? He's got to intersect. He's got to speak on your behalf so something that can happen in your life. He's making a petition, a request to the Father for you. Yeshua is fighting what? For you. Say, he's fighting for you. Well, tell your neighbor he's fighting for you. He's Yavanisi. He's your what? Battle fighting God. Did you guys know that he is fighting? He's trying to make something happen for you. He is interceding for you. I don't know about you, but I got some battles that I cannot fight myself. I need Yahweh Nisi, the battle fighting God. So how do I allow that to happen? You need to be in unity with the battle fighting God. Right? So it says right here, 17th verse. Sanctify them. Who's them? You. Say, them is me. I know it don't sound like perfect English, but it's okay. It gets the point across. Them is me. Them is us. Look around the room. Them is us. Sanctify them. What is sanctify? This is to be sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. He's making a request to the Father. Father, do something in their life. Move in them. And when we look at the meaning of sanctification, it has these steps. And at first, in sanctification, Yahweh shows himself holy. Say, number one. Because this is a process of sanctification. Number one, Yahweh shows himself holy. And then what does he do? He transmits holiness to you. Who needs it? I don't know about you. So he shows himself as holy. What is happening here? Then he transmits holiness to me, right? And then once I've been received the transmission of his holiness, then he declares me holy. He speaks that I am now set apart. I am now his and he is mine. It's a process. So what does that mean? Now I've become unified with the Father. This sanctification. He shows himself holy. Ooh. Then he transmits holy and transforms me. And then he says, okay, that is my child. That is my child. They are set apart from me. They are sanctified. Why? How do I know? Because they are certified. Yahweh sanctified. Ooh. I want to be certified. Yahweh sanctified. I got a stamp on it. It used to be when the beef was good, they put a purple stamp on it and it say USDA choice. Do you remember that? Well, now when I got the Holy Ghost, he done put a seal on me. He said, that's my child. They are sanctified and they are Yahweh certified through the blood of Yeshua. They are saved. Anybody sanctified in the house? Holy Ghost. So he says, sanctify them through thy truth. And that word, what it, you tell yourself, I got to have the truth. Do y'all know that we only get one shot at this? And what I mean by this, we only have one life to live. And this one life that you live, you need to make sure that you are certified and sanctified. And it says what? 18th verse. As thou hast sent me into the world. This is Yeshua. Who's talking? Connect with this. Yeshua is telling the Father, as you, Father Yahweh, have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them. Who's them? Say, them is us. Tell yourself, them is me. 19th, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Ooh. For you, he said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Do you realize what Yeshua did? Do you realize what he did? Do you realize the power of what he did? Do you realize by him taking on your sin, taking on your filth, taking on your shame, taking on your burdens, that he sanctified himself for you? Somebody needs to thank him for sanctification. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. He did it because he said that they also might be sanctified. Through the what? Through the truth. 20th verse, neither pray I for these. Come on. Ooh, see. He's bringing people together because he says, okay, and neither pray I for just these. Look around the room. Say, these are these. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Say, them is them. Why? He's trying to sanctify you so that you can receive it, and so that you can help them out there on Lakewood Boulevard and Willow Street and Long Beach and Compton and Inglewood and L.A., all those that would what? Believe on him. What? Through what? Their word is you. Because what you're going to do is you're going to receive that sanctification. Because Yeshua said he'd sanctify himself so that what? You will be sanctified, right? And he says, and I'm not praying for just these, for you guys, but for those that will shall believe on me, and they're going to look at you. Anybody know that you're being looked at? And your testimony, your evidence of sanctification, that they will see that, hey, that brother, that sister, they're set apart. They're showing a holy life. They got a glow. They got a blessings on their life. The blessings have been commanded. Not only that, life forevermore. I want what they've got. And through your sanctification, other people can see it and they'll come to the Father because of your testimony. Right? And then what does the 21st verse say? That they all may be one. Say the oneness. That we'll be one. There'll be one, right? As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Ooh, who's us? Who's them? Yahweh, Yeshua, the Holy Ghost, all one, right? May be one in us that the world may believe or that they may know that what? There's more in the oneness than you getting your blessing. There's more in the oneness than you receiving life forevermore. When you allow yourself to get in the oneness, you are changing lives out there. Your life becomes a shining example of what the power of the Word and the Spirit can do. Anybody know that the Word and the Spirit coming together has made a profound change in your life? Yeah, because there's some stuff you used to do. And Yahweh's not trying to suppress you. He's just saying, come out of the club. Stop dancing and boogalooing, as the apostle used to say. Cutting up, turning up to all this mess out here. If you just allow me to sanctify you, I'm going to provide an atmosphere where there's going to be holy music. And you can dance, all right, but you're dancing unto me. And you got to praise, and you got to dance. And what you're doing is that you're showing everybody that there's an alternative. Saints, you ain't got to stop dancing. Just come on in here and give him the praise. Come on, dance in the Spirit. Because guess what? This crew right here, we have a good time. You ain't seen partying like you seen when the Holy Ghost partying. When Elmo get up there and is talking about, has he been good to you? Has he been good to you? Well, he's asking a question. You see that life in him? You see that vibrancy in him? You see that praise in him? And instead of looking at him like, what's wrong with him, what you need to do is get up and say, he been good to me. He been good to me. Anybody, has Yahweh been good to you? Then you need to turn up. Turn up. Turn up. Turn up. Praise. Turn up. Turn up the praise. Turn up the glorification. Turn up the sanctification. Turn up the worship. Call his name. Shout his name. Turn up the thanksgiving. Thank you. Hallelujah. That they may know that they'll see the power, that they'll see the gladness. Anybody glad? Anybody delivered? Anybody free? Is there anybody that's healed? You need to praise him then. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for new life. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for transformation. Hey, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hey. Hey. Thank you. Holy Oshanda Rama. Thank you, Oshanda Rama. Hey, Obara Setoma. Thank you, Father. Holy Oshanda Rama. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Hey, Oshanda Rama. Oh, thank you, Father. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone. You alone are worthy of my. I will give. I will give you all my worship. You.